All right. Parakeh. What do you got here? Questions, comments? Yeah, Frank.
In Chavav, at least, we already know Hashem gave us them to Shama. Why is it saying it again? Hashem gave us them to Shama. Yeah, we know that.
Okay, so what do you think?
I don't know, I kind of spaced in halfway through the parakeet.
Okay. So what, maybe, like, look, Ronnie pointed out before that it was chachma for mishpat. What kind of chachma is now being used? It's a different type of chachma. What chachma is now being used?
Peace.
Good, maybe it's wisdom for diplomacy. How he's able to strike a deal to have, you know, Hiram from Tsur come and help build Beit HaMikdash. Maybe it's wisdom for construction. Building the Beit HaMikdash. Look, Hiram and David had peace more out of fear. You know, it was like, what was it called again? That during the Cold War? Mutual... What was it? What's that phrase again? That the United States and Russia had, that they wouldn't... No, but there's a phrase, I think it's like man or something like that. It was like that mutual... you know, it was a deterrent that
nuclear warfare.
I can't remember right now. But there was an idea that no one would attack the other one because they knew the other country could nuke them to smithereens as well.
They were just waiting.
So there's this mutual deterrent. What?
M.
I think so.
Mutual.
I think it's like math for some reason. Mutual A something deterrent. I don't know what is destruction.
Yeah.
Mutual. I don't know. It doesn't matter right now. It's weird this is being recorded, but okay. It is what it is. Now it's not out of fear of David, now it's peace for out of respect for Shlomo. Through diplomacy, Shlomo basically ruled the civilized world. And here, I guess the emphasis is that Hiram comes to him and makes a bris. Maybe that's the Chachma, that now it's not just Chachma that he's able to do Mishpat and decide the case in Perek Gimel, you know, without any evidence. And now it's also as a world leader. Okay? Maybe that's what it's talking about. What else? Ron?
It says in Pasuk Vav that Shlomo had 40,000 stalls of horses. Okay, so I'm pretty sure, like, a king is not allowed to have a certain amount of, like, horses because...
Good.
Like arrogance or something. I'm not exactly sure why, but so why Shlomo then have all these horses?
Okay. Okay. So yes, one of the problems with Shlomo is that he had too many horses, too many wives, too much money. We're going to see that. But Shlomo having 40,000 stalls, right? Is that what it says?
Stalls of horses.
Okay. The Abar Binel says no king had anywhere near this in his time. Okay? It was a tremendous amount. And sort of the idea is, don't even think of messing with me. Look how humongous my army is. This is my cavalry. Okay? Probably later on when he has 1,000 wives, it's the same idea. He had more women than all the kings put together. Just like he has more horses than all the kings put together. He's got more women than everyone put together. He's like dwarfing everyone so that you won't even think of starting with him. Look how huge your empire is. What?
It's not hard for other kings to get more women.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, this was his deterrent. His deterrent was, you know, why does America need hundreds of thousands of nuclear bombs? Doesn't one do the trick? Yeah, it would do a trick, but knowing you have thousands makes it scary to even start. So that's this idea. He had a huge army. I just point out, since you mentioned Vav, Pasuk Hey is a very famous Pasuk. Whenever Tanakh wants to talk about that people lived in peace and serenity, they use this phrase that the Yeshev Yehuda Yeshev Lebetach Ish Tachet Gafno Betachet Te'inatam, right? Underneath his fig tree, underneath his vineyard. So a friend of mine, he made a little hammock in his backyard, right underneath his fig tree, right underneath his vineyard, so he should be, like, you know, be relaxing in security. You know, this is the sign of prosperity, of security. Okay, fine. Yes.
Okay, it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he was wiser than all men.
And it's like then, listing people.
Then Ethan, the Ezraite, and Chiman, and Kolkol, and Darda, the sons of Machal. Who are the people?
Okay, good. So, look, according to different opinions, Chazal will say, as a Midrash, also got an Avram Avinu, and Moshe, and Yosef, and other people in Tanakh. Okay? The Pashup Shai is, these were wise people of his day. Right? That's the simple reading. These were well-known wise people of his day. The way that today, someone will still refer to, oh, he's smarter than Einstein. Right? So that's what they're saying. Shlomo was smarter than the Einstein of his day. There's another parish that I saw in Divrei Yamim, referring to them as brilliant musicians, because it's about to talk about all the songs that he wrote. So his composition of music was greater, you know, than these people. But whatever the case is, it's clearly great praise, and when it was written, well understood. Even if we don't understand necessarily what it's saying, well understood. Yes, anything else? Like, it's also interesting, his fame is growing here. You know, we said before that he asked for only for wisdom, didn't ask for fame, didn't ask for money, but all those things start coming as well. And that's what we're seeing over here. There are gifts that are giving, there's honor that's given. His fame grows. What Sfarim do we have in Tanakh that were written by Shlomo Melech? And one more? Koheles. Even with all of this, it seems that much of his writings were lost, because it says over here that he wrote 3,000 Meshalim.
We have the time.
What?
We have the time.
How did he have the time? Obviously, he didn't just do it over one writing, you know, one sitting. But he was the king for 40 years. What? He did things, and he wasn't playing video games or watching TV, so he had some time.
I'm assuming a king works harder than, like, I don't know.
I agree, but he had...
household father.
I agree, but he also didn't have to... Right, he didn't have to work 9 to 5. He had advisors, he had peace. So he probably had more downtime than someone who's at war. I agree with you. I don't think he just spent all of his days doing this. But he was a brilliant guy, and he was able to get things done. You know, Hiram from Sur, who helped David build his palace in Shmuel Bet, now helps in building the Beit HaMikdash. And the relationship grew even stronger with Shlomo than it did with David. And Divrei Yamim talks about how they negotiated and settled on compensation, working in Sur. So let me ask you a question. Is this a good thing or a bad thing that Shlomo brought in the best in the world to produce, you know, the wood and cut it and bring it to... Sounds like a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Why would why might it be?
Because it should be.
Why might be a bad?
It should be like the mishkan, all the people coming together to do it.
Very good. There are a lot of people that look with scorn about what Shlomo did. Why are you giving this job to foreign workers? Right? Why foreign? Could you, Ronnie? Would you be okay with Arabs building the third Beit HaMikdash for us? I mean, they build most of the houses. Construction here in this country. Construction here in this country. Most people are not Jewish. So you could sit there and say, well, if we got a whole bunch of Jews who don't know how to hammer a nail into a piece of wood, certainly don't want them building my Beit HaMikdash. I hear that part. On the other hand, wouldn't it bother you a little bit that building of the Beit HaMikdash had to be done by non-Jews? As Ephraim said, the Mishkan, the Jews did it all. Right? We did everything. We were involved from morning to night, building the Beit HaMikdash. And here, we dished it out for foreign help. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Right? Our most holy, pure building is built by foreigners. Is that good or bad? What do you say, Aaron?
It's preferable that Jews build it, but I think it's nice that others. How do we know that they would have done a bad job?
We don't know.
It
sounds as if he just said, "Listen, you guys are the best, so I want the best."
Wasn't this type of piece that was like a lot of trust? You said he built the palace before us.
He built a palace as well. Yes, he built a palace for David. Yes.
So we built a palace for David, and we can kind of see as like a person.
That we're given the job here.
Yeah.
there's more things I think.
Okay, historically though, there is a problem. What happened? Shlomo struck an alliance with Sidon Melech, you know, the Hiram Melech Tzor. And this led to an alliance between the countries. Later on, Ahav, the worst king in Israel, marries Izebel, like the worst queen in Israel, who was the daughter of Melech Tzidon. Right? It's because of these alliances which led to the destruction of the Torah, basically, and the murder of Nevin, and introduction of Avodah Zarah. Yehoshaphat also married off his son to Ataliah, based on all these non-Jewish alliances with different kings.
So it's not good.
So yeah, so I'm saying, like, on the one hand, you say, okay, I get it, I want the best. On the other hand, historically we saw. It's like, I'm not saying like he should have had the foresight. It's sort of like, I just saw once a statement, even though halachically, you can daven in the vernacular, it need not be in Hebrew, every single place where that was done, the Jews assimilated. So when, during that time, the Hellenized Jews, and we started to, you know, do things in the vernacular, assimilated. Reform, assimilated. So, yes, it might be mutter, but there's like this slippery slope that I'm just like the Goyim, and I intermingle with the Goyim, right? How close, I think even now, Rav Soloveitchik tells this very sad story. He said he was once having a conversation when he was a kid in Germany with this elder German Jew, and something about, I don't know exactly the whole story, but who do you feel closer to? An irreligious Polish Jew or a German non-Jew? And I think that if you were to ask that same question to an American, right, your parents, who have all sorts of non-Jewish colleagues, right? People that they associate with all week long. Do you feel closer to your non-Jewish colleague who shares the same culture, language, you know, society, background as you do, or some irreligious Jew living in, I don't know, Argentina? Let's not even use Israel. Or Brazil. Or England. Or France. What do you think your parents would say? Right now, Soloveitchik said this guy's told him the German. And he said, I was too young and didn't have enough chutzpah to tell him I felt he was wrong, but Hitler proved me correct, unfortunately. You know, and all the Jews, you know, were rounded up and they had more in common. So, you know, having an alliance, you have to know where to draw the line between, you know, cooperating and actual friendship. And that's a slippery slope. I don't know. I mean, in Beit Sheni, the Jews were makpid. Only Jews built the Beit HaMikdash. There were goyim that wanted to join in. The Shomronim, they said, let us help. And Ezra and Nehemiah said, thanks but no thanks. All right? We want Avodah Ivrit. When the early Zionists came to Israel, they were makpid. Avodah Ivrit. They wouldn't let, you know, the non-Jews that were here be involved in the building up. They felt it was like, this was a mitzvah for me to be involved in. And we, unfortunately, we become so white collar that, you know, a Jew in Israel would rather be on unemployment than do any construction work, any blue collar work, and therefore it's done by foreign labor, which is sort of sad. The Gemara in Yerushalmi points out, when they were building, they would send people off, 1 month off to Lebanon, and they were cutting down trees and doing work, and then 2 months back, and they had a rotation of people. And Gemara learns from this, the mitzvah Piri of Arivia is more important than Binyan Beis HaMikdash, because 2 out of 3 months you're home with your wife, and 1 out of 3 only, you're away working on building the Beit HaMikdash. They talked about also who was involved. Look at Pasuk Chav Tet. Just like we had by Yoshua, the Shoah Vimayim Chotve Eitzim, the Givonim, he also has over here, according to Chazal, these were Gerim as well, who weren't sincere, they converted, and they're involved in the Binyan Beit HaMikdash. They might be the same Givonim, maybe. And they're involved over here. One last thing.
But do the Givonim have to respect us?
It seems like I don't know. Chazal, these are still them. They're still around. But look what you have. Just like one last thing. Pasuk Lam. Levav Yisrael nitzavim l'shlamo shel ha'melacha. Shloshet alafim u'shloshet me'ot rodim ba'am osim melacha. There was so many different. There's hierarchies of. He was in charge of this. He was in charge of this. There was so many officers that basically there was a leader for every 50 men. And this is another cool thing. It gets back to what you're saying about the Mishkan. That when you're given responsibility, you feel you're more a part of it. Right? In the army, you have all sorts of commanders. So the first thing you can be, you're a private, and then you can you can take Kors Makim, you can be like a sergeant. But you're in charge of it. And then go one step ahead, I could be like in charge of the sergeants. I could be a katsin, an officer. I don't know, like a lieutenant or something like that. And then you can go higher, you could be like a captain. Then you can go up, you could be like a major. And more and more, but all together, you have so many people in the army that actually are officers. Because he's in charge of 3, and he's in charge of 12, and he's in charge of 20, and he's in charge of 100, and he's in charge of 400, and he's in charge of 1,000. So everyone's given a job of responsibility. When you have responsibility, you feel you're more part of it than you're just like the guy following orders. So it's part of the system that all these people are involved in building the Beit HaMikdash. And we'll stop over here.